This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is, church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. Realharmony.org.
I would say if the authorities didn't want us involved in the public square, they ought not to have crucified Jesus in the public square.
Use humanistic principles.
Well, I would say
the same idea.
I would say
same
that.
End.
I would say, what's the problem with stardust bumping into stardust?
In the cosmic picture, no, there's no problem. In the cosmic picture, it won't matter.
No, Mr. President, you are not protecting reproductive freedom. You are authorizing the destruction of freedom for 1 million little human beings every year.
I'm sorry, my friends, but I am tired of seeing Jesus presented as a weak beggar. He is a powerful Savior, and the gospel is not a suggestion, it is a command.
Reverend Mola, don't you sympathize with that?
I sympathize with every single human heart wishing to know the one true and living God, but I believe there's only one way that can happen, through Jesus Christ, and the gospel is about repenting of sin, not celebrating it.
Of an amazing adventure. We will explore the spiritual abyss. You have not experienced this before. You're gonna love it.
What's up, y'all? This is Apologia Radio. As always, you can get us, guys, at apologiaradio.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. A lot of people aren't doing that, are they, right now? Subscription, comments. We got to get that going on.
Yeah, we need more comments.
We got to get that going on. I just noticed something. This microphone that I'm speaking on right now is funky. I'm talking funky. I mean, it smells incredible. I'm trying to concentrate, like, and it just got some funk coming off of it.
Where's Jeremy with the spray?
I don't know. Whoever was in here beforehand needs to brush your teeth. That's all I gotta say.
They ate a turd sandwich.
I guess so.
We love to make friends here.
Yeah.
On Apologia Radio.
We're not saying it was exactly the person before me, but it's interesting. So anyway, I'll try to stay focused. So Joy, Temby, what's up with you? How you doing?
My microphone's not so great either.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
Just gonna throw it out there.
All right. And Luke, that's Luke the Bear. What's up, Luke?
Mine's good.
You see him over there sniffing it?
Off on it.
All right, guys. Hey, this is Apologia Radio. You can get us again at apologiaradio.com. Go to apologiachurch.com. We do meet Sundays at 5:30 p.m. in Tempe, east of rural and Guadalupe. Guadalupe. Joy, why are you shaking your head at me? This is just how I do it.
Okay.
I don't speak Spanish.
Very good. So what's up, guys? How are things?
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about you?
Interesting week. Good stuff.
I heard you did something really fun with your family the other night.
What was this?
I heard it was like something, I don't know, maybe like Christmas
premature?
Related.
Yeah. Premature? Is that what you're
going
to say?
No. Oh, you're outnumbered here.
Thank you.
In this studio, you're outnumbered.
Oh,
so
good. High five over there with Joy. Okay. Yeah.
Fine.
Look. Yeah. Okay. Just so you, if you don't know this, my family and I.
Not so much, Martin Vance.
My family and I are amazing I'm addicted to Christmas. And we like to start it early. I think that we, as Christians, we celebrate Christmas constantly, right? We're always celebrating Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And this is an excuse to do it publicly and in your face.
Mm-hmm.
We get the assistance of malls, restaurants, bars even, are playing Christmas music.
Mm.
Stores.
Mm.
They're playing. They're telling the world about Jesus for
K-Love.
Us.
K-Love.
Yep.
K-Love. They're all, yeah, they're always playing Christmas, kind of. I don't know.
You know, we have a program we call Redeem Rebels. It's for addictions.
We do.
You should go. You should come sometime.
Yeah.
You said you're addicted.
I say.
Good one. Good one.
So anyway, what Joy was referring to is the fact that, and don't be hating, is the fact that in my family we put up Christmas decorations and the tree like beginning of November-ish, and we have no problem with this. And
well, but it's like a whole, this whole production where you guys have this, these traditions that you do every year.
Yes.
So it's like a whole night. It's not just like time to set up the tree, babe.
Mm-mm. No,
say babe, because
that's what I say. Yes. Yeah.
That was very accurate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, Joy's right. We don't. We actually plan the whole night out. We have specific food that we make
every year,
the same food every year. And we all sit down together and we eat the food, and we have specific Christmas movies, that we watch. And we always sit down with the food, the movie, and then and like halfway through that, people start getting restless. Then we start putting the tree up. I have to put the tree up portion first, which is what I hate to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hard part of putting the tree up, making sure. Because, you know, you have to use the plastic trees because I'm allergic.
Yeah.
I'm allergic.
And then you get all scratched up.
Yeah. And this was what stinks is we did this whole production. Joy, I don't know if I told you this. We did the whole production of setting the whole tree situation up. We get the whole tree up, ready to go. The whole night's dedicated to putting Christmas stuff up. And then the lights are out in the tree, which is why I suggested a long time ago, don't get a pre-lit tree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the problem there is that you're stuck with those lights.
If a light goes down in a tree, the whole tree's done.
Yeah.
You can't just get a new strand. Okay. Yeah. These are my problems right now. This is what's going on in an urban household right now.
You can just put more lights on the tree.
Besides the problem of a really stinky.
Stank on your mic.
Stank on your mic. I got the frog at Christmas trees that aren't working.
But yeah, so nice it rough. Sounded like fun.
But the whole time I'm talking to you guys now, all I hear in the background of my subliminal, like, conscious, stanky. Stanky.
It's like it's talking to you.
Yeah, it is.
Inconceivable!
So, Christmas is awesome because if you think about it, it's a great time to be a missionary. This is where I'm going to go sort of to a serious moment. It's a great time to be a missionary because the world is telling everybody about Jesus.
Right.
Singing songs about Jesus, Silent Night. I mean, you're singing songs about the Savior in the mall. Like, it's playing over the loudspeakers and in the stores. I mean, it's an awesome opportunity to do missionary work. So I want to just sort of, like, preemptively help people. Like, be a missionary. It's a good time to start inviting people to church, like, that are believers that don't go to church. Like, you can start to get your butt to church now. And then there's also a good opportunity to start talking to people about Jesus during the lunch break.
Even the Mormons sing theologically correct songs about Jesus when it comes to Christmas.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, if you guys don't know, that we go out to the Mormon temple in Mesa all the time, Christmas lights. And one of the things that always boggles our minds is the fact that at the Christmas lights and at the Easter pageant at the Mormon temple, this is funky. At the Christmas lights and Easter pageant at the Mormon temple, you've got them doing Christmas songs that just do not jive with Mormon theology. Like
Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, Holy, Holy.
Yeah, you're not allowed to play that.
No, yeah. Song about the Trinity. Can't do that.
Yeah.
Mormonism. Can't do that.
I'm blowing the whistle on that.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, we have a show planned for you guys today. We want to do some Q&A, some stuff that came up on the web, the webpage. We also want to try to finish up. I think it'd be a good day to do it. The discussion we had on how do we know that Jesus is the Messiah? We want to talk about that. Our answer is most definitely Jesus is. We want to talk about that. But let's go into a quick discussion about current events. It is a significant one. We did a show recently on Obamacare, and we called it Theft and Slavery. That we were joined by Pastor Douglas Wilson of Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho. We talked about Obamacare for the 2 hours from a biblical perspective. Some stuff has come up since the show. I mean, the rollout happened. We did the show. We wanted to examine it from a Christian perspective, but some more stuff has happened. The website rolls out. We're discovering now that the first day, the word out is six people enrolled.
Yep.
Six people.
Are you serious?
Six
yep. Only
people
six were enrolled.
Oh, my gosh.
The first
I didn't
day.
Hear that.
Yeah, six people enrolled the first day.
Nice job.
Yes.
Obama.
And so you think about a system that spent hundreds of millions of dollars, or a government that spent hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars. That means it's your neighbor's money, your mom's money, your dad's money, your money. It's our
your mom's money.
Yeah, that's your mom's money. Man, this is one stinky thing. I'm not gonna lie. During break, I'm gonna do something about this thing. I'm gonna change it out. Well, hey, listen. What was I talking about?
You were talking about your mom's money.
Your mom's money.
Your face's money.
So here's the thing. This government, they spend hundreds of millions of dollars of people's money to build a website to bring a product in that is by coercion. You must buy this product to take more of your money. And guess what? It doesn't work. Hundreds of millions of dollars. Listen, Apologia Radio has a website. I think we pay like $25 a month for
and it works.
And it works every once in a while.
Well, and just think about the resources that the government, the government has.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't have called Apple.
Yeah.
To maybe like do some sort of technological thing.
Well,
like,
but here's the thing.
Like if someone says, oh, hey, you have a call coming in. Oh, who is it? Oh, it's the government. They want you to build a website.
It's the government.
You can pretty much get a hold of anybody, I would think.
Okay. So, but that's another thing too, Joy, is that what has happened is that as a result of this complete and utter failure, which is what it is, it's not kind of mixed up. It's a complete and utter failure in the hundreds of millions of dollars. This is what happens when you give the beast the opportunity to try to start a business, is it's not the job of the beast to have a business like this. And so anyway, what are they doing now? It doesn't work. It's a failure. So they
probably hired like one of their sons.
Yeah.
Like some senator's son.
No,
My son can build a website.
You want to know what's true? This is awesome. Actually true. The person who is in charge of building the website and everything else, guess who it is? A close personal friend of Michelle Obama from college.
Oh, nice.
It was a no-bid contract.
Oh, okay.
So, hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars to go to a buddy of the president's wife to build a website that didn't work. And so what happens when the government gets involved in private enterprise, private business, like healthcare? It's kind of a big deal. It matters greatly, is that they fail. And what did they do? They went to Verizon to try to ask for assistance on how to build the website properly. So in the end, what are we learning here? That government doesn't belong in private business.
Seriously.
That you shouldn't steal money from people and produce a product that you have no business producing that will ultimately just end up stealing more money from people, which is all it is coercion and theft in the long run. And then to tell us what? That private businesses are the ones that actually belong building private businesses.
Yeah.
And products and services.
You know what, man? This situation stinks like yo, Mike!
Man, this microphone is smelly. I'll tell you what. I've been doing this here at KPXQ. I think it's been about 4 years now. I've been here. I've never walked into a microphone that smells quite like this.
I've had this happen to me one other time.
It smells like somebody was chowing down on kimchi and coffee.
Oh, wow.
It's
kimchi. Wow.
Kimchi.
Nice.
You know what kimchi is?
Yeah.
Right?
Tell everybody so they can really get the full image.
Well, kimchi is a cabbage that rots underground for 3 months.
Yeah.
I used to have a friend whose mom made kimchi, and she'd rot this stuff underground for 3 months, and she'd just be like, Jeff, you eat kimchi. I'm like, no, I don't think so. Mrs. Landry, that's what her name was.
It was her.
Yeah,
she
this
came
is her.
In,
she came in. She's like, you're going to eat. Apologia Radio. We'll be right back, I hope. New mic.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
What's up, this is Apologia Radio. What's wrong, Luke? I feel much better. I'm like more awake now. I was in complete daze. Because the funk.
Yeah.
I had the funk microphone.
Yeah, you had that. We got the funk. The phone.
Yeah. We're back, and we were talking about Obamacare, and We were talking about the rollout of Obamacare. They were like, we don't know how many people enrolled the first day. That's what they were saying. How'd you do today? And they were like, well, we don't really know and have accurate numbers. They knew. Six people. And wow. So, here's the deal. It's not so much just that I want to diss the whole situation, because actually it's quite sad that money is stolen from people and everything else. But it's okay to heap scorn upon somebody that's engaging in sin and wickedness and stealing and putting such a wicked program into place. But it's just that when you think about the promises that have been made about this whole thing, mm-hmm. when you think about the money that's spent on this thing, it starts from its very beginning with sinful roots. The idea of coercive taking of somebody's property to make them pay for something they didn't ask you for is just theft. Mm-hmm. When somebody takes money from you that you are not, in a sense, asking for, you're not compliant with. There's nothing wrong with taxes. Christians are commanded to pay taxes, but that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be robbed large scale as a Christian because God says pay your taxes. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a big qualifier there, to whom they're due. It doesn't make sense. It's not godly or biblical or righteous for someone to tell me you will buy this product, and if you do not buy it, I will take thousands of dollars from you in penalties. And if you don't pay those penalties, then I will also suspend your license. License and all the other things that they'll do. Did you know they'll do that?
Do you say your license?
License.
They can take my license.
Yeah, license.
I don't want those. Those are bad.
They'll suspend your license. It's all coercion.
What license? Your driver's license?
Driver's license.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, you didn't know this?
No.
You got to get up on it. That's all I got to say. It's not just they're saying, well, you just need to pay, and then you go, well, I'm not down with that. And they go, oh, okay, well, you know, agree to disagree. Yeah. They go, no, thousands of dollars in penalties, and you also will get your license suspended.
Wow.
And it just goes on and on and on. And it's coercion. Again, it's slavery. But here's the deal. It was built upon lies. And what I want to do is I want to play just some clips. See, because what's happening here today is you have Americans today, millions upon millions are going to be receiving letters. I think there's millions that already have. Probably, I think it's 2 million that already have received letters. And what are the letters they're receiving? Have you heard about this? The letters the letters they're receiving are saying essentially from their insurance carrier. This is people who have bought, say, private insurance.
Yeah.
They're receiving letters from the insurance carrier. We can no longer do this policy,
right.
So it's canceled. You need to go to healthcare.gov to get a new policy under Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
Affordable, not, and care. No, they don't. sorry.
Yeah.
Care for Six People Act.
Yeah. I like what R.C. Sproul Jr. said the other day. He said, it's neither affordable nor do they care, but they are acting.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But they're receiving cancellations, okay? So why is that a problem? Well, here's specifically why it's a problem. If you can raise up my levels on this. These are some of the promises that our president made.
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period.
Now, what do you think it means when somebody says, you can keep it, period?
You can keep it. I'm guessing.
Like with no qualification, right?
Yeah.
Period means, and I'm not qualifying that.
The end of the statement, no more. There is nothing to follow this. The end.
No buts.
There'll be nothing later. Over here, nothing. It's just the period stopped the sentence.
Maybe it was period.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. Dot. He's saving himself. Right.
Oh.
No, it's .. Because I had something else to say 3 years from now. So yeah, here's the deal. The point is, and there's more to play here, but I just want to point out that when someone says, you can keep your doctor, period,
mm-hmm.
that means the end of the statement, there is no qualifier.
And he didn't even leave himself any room for error.
No, right. And that's just the point here. So continue on. This is July 16th, 2009. Yeah, it's 2013. September, rollout, 2013. This is from 2009.
First of all, if you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. Nobody is talking about taking that away from you.
No matter what you...
So here's the deal. Ready? That was 2009. Got it? 2013, what did he say? Nobody is telling you
that you can't keep your doctor in your plan. If you have it, you like it, you right. can keep it. Okay. Now, here's the deal. Now people start receiving these cancellation notices on their private insurance. No, you can't keep your plan. No, you can't keep your doctor. Go to healthcare.gov, get something else, right? And so everyone's getting these cancellations. And so what does that mean that we were lied to? Okay. Mm-hmm. So not only is it, I think, from a biblical perspective, as a pastor, it's a lie at its starts. Okay, now sorry, it's evil at its beginnings. It's theft at its beginnings, but it's also lying right. at the beginning, because in 2009, when all this is being propagated, the promise is nobody's saying you're going to lose your insurance. If you have it, you can keep it. Everybody today that has it, they're losing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody, but generally, people are losing their coverage, and they were promised that they can keep it. Now, here's what's also challenging about that. So they're losing their coverage. They were promised that they can keep. So there's a lie to fit into a system that's amounting to theft and slavery from a biblical perspective, taking property from someone else that they have not given you permission to take, and then enslaving them to pay year by year by year. You're owning that person's production and their children's production. That is what slavery is. But here's the deal. When you think about the fact that now people are going to healthcare.gov, what's the challenge at healthcare.gov now? Well, it doesn't work. So there's the problem.
That's a bit of a problem.
It doesn't work. The next thing is people are noticing that the rate increases are substantial.
Yeah.
People are paying, some people, I mean, testimonies across the board, people are saying that their insurance coverage premium went from, say, just as an example, $160 a month
yeah.
to $350 a month. And that's not all that changes. They went from saying having a, say, a $200 a month premium to, say, a $500 a month premium. And not only that, but the deductible
yeah.
went from, say, $3,000 a year to $10,000 a year. And I'm just reading these sad stories of elderly people
yeah.
that are saying, I can't do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I literally can't afford it.
Yeah.
So much for affordable.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. And people are saying, oh, but the government will subsidize those of you guys that can't really afford the premium. And so that's not actually true, though, because the people that can actually put money into the system aren't going to get the subsidies. So who's going to get them? People who are on welfare, yeah. the people who are
never initially paying
people
for
who should maybe aren't here legally completely. And so they're the ones that are in this pot down here that are going to get the actual government assistance mm-hmm. that really actually helps them. But how are they? Watch this. Here's the Ponzi scheme. How are they getting the government assistance
mm-hmm.
on their healthcare premium from the money that's stolen mm-hmm. from the other people mm-hmm. to actually pay for it? And so when you think about this whole entire scenario, it really is a display of what a sinful legislation would lead you to.
Yeah.
And what does this all amount to? It amounts to a nation that has forgotten its God, a nation that's forgotten its covenant with its God. America started it as a Christian republic. That's what it was. And so we've lost that foundation of the Word of God. Let's get back to it. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Apologia Radio. In the studio with the girl, Joy Tembe, the bear, Luke Pearson, the bearded wonder.
Yeah.
So the other day, I'm at the store. Amazing experience. It's like 11:30 at night. I go in, and the cashier dude is like, dude, how'd you do that? I was like, do what? He's like, your beard. It's like perfect. I was like, man, this is such a wonderful end to a night. Thank you very much.
I thought your head looked a little bigger today.
Did, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not because of your beard.
Not because my hair is
no,
crazy.
No, because it went to your head.
So Yes. Wait, what did you tell him?
I was like, dude, thank you. Thank you. I was like, you know, it's funny. It's like I'm 35 years old and I only just started being able to grow a beard. I'm like 32 years old, it just happened. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it happened. I think it's like I was hanging around with Luke a lot and just sort of
I shared it.
Yeah, my face just felt really ashamed. Mm-hmm. And so it just decided to go. I can't put up with this any longer. I'm very competitive, mm-hmm. like to my core. And so as soon as I was like hanging around Luke a lot, my body was like,
I remember
that
from all the times that you, from like the few times that you like lost. Like certain challenges on the
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you
talking
about?
I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Like, you know, like with the like chili cook-off.
Yeah. Joy, like this is wrong. It's just wrong for you to bring that up right now in front of the whole world. Stop looking at me like that. Look at me like Luke's all like pompous. You got third place.
Yeah,
but he didn't even care to win first place.
No. That's what was wrong with the mics.
We had a chili dipped in your chili. We had a chili cook-off, and Luke just didn't even care that he didn't get first place. If there was a 15th place and he got 14th and I got 15th, he still would walk around like with his chest puffed out, strutting like a chicken.
He'd win the I beat Jeff Durbin.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all he cares about. I'm gonna make a T-shirt. Yeah, yeah, you should.
I'm gonna make one for you. This says my chili sucks.
Yeah, people were calling my. You know, my people are calling my chili. They were calling it the Christmas chili. I was like, that's a compliment. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. To you. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now.
That means you dumped all of Christmas into a pot and cooked it.
I'm interested. Is that a piece of a Christmas ornament?
Wait, I just cut my tongue. What was that? Is that a hook?
Okay. So you put a special ingredient in your chili.
Yes.
What is it?
Funk.
I put the funk in.
Your microphone cover.
Tinsel.
Tinsel, right. Yeah. Chocolate.
Okay.
And cinnamon.
So that sounds interesting to me.
Yeah?
I've never actually tried your chili because there's meat in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, that's what you want to call it.
Oh my gosh. Dang. But it sounds like kind of gourmet. And
yeah, it does.
I feel like
it is.
You could take it.
Several people walked up to me at church and they were like, honestly, yours was really, really good.
All right, I'm finding the video. I'm playing the video. I know the video.
It has people in the back room like scoffing at it. Like, what is this? Cinnamon chili? What is it? A mole? Like,
so next year, what you're saying is, several months before the cook-off, we need to do like some palate competition.
Yes.
Like, who has the best palate, and then they can be our judges.
Okay, and Luke will not be in there
because
he does not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I will
honestly, I have to tell you, okay, I'm not necessarily saying anything bad, didn't taste either of the chilies, but yours kind of smelled like Sloppy Joe's.
I don't even care what it smelled like. At least it didn't smell like some cinnamon funk that got dead last.
Did I get last? That's like the newest.
You know what? I put candied bacon in my chili.
Can we at least say this? I did win a year, and then you won a year.
Okay.
And I just made some poor choices.
Listen,
I made some poor choices.
The year that Jeff won, we now have the Jeff Durbin rule because of the year that Jeff won, when he got 12 votes and half of them were his kids voting multiple times.
No, that's actually not true. I took my kids' votes out.
We had like 15 people. So
yeah, 15 people went to the church. 6 of them were your family.
Luke had 3 votes that year. So either way, I beat him. Look, it gets serious.
Yes,
Luke and
it
I for chili. It gets very serious.
Listen, I will say,
okay,
Jason won this year.
Yeah,
kudos to Jason, but he did use roadkill.
Yeah, well, so he wouldn't tell anybody what his secret ingredient was.
So it was roadkill.
He killed.
Wait, what?
I'm telling you, there was something in that chili that shouldn't have been there.
He definitely scraped some off the side of the road.
He's a big hunter, right?
Yeah.
So it's possible that he really.
Okay, hold on. We're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah.
Okay,
you're right.
Hey, we're back. Right. Okay, welcome to our world. Oh, there's really no way to finish. Okay. Let's go ahead and play a little more of Obama telling you.
If you like your doctor or health care plan, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan. Period. If you are among the hundreds of millions of Americans who already have health insurance through your job, or Medicare, or Medicaid, or the VA, nothing in this plan will require you or your employer to change the coverage of the doctor you have.
And as it turns out, they've known since at least 2010 that that was not true. ApologiaRadio.com. We'll be back with lots of content answering questions about Calvinism, the Messiah. We'll be back.
Apology Radio. We'll be right back.
When you look at the Psalms, Psalm chapter 2, the command goes out to obey the sun, lest you perish when his wrath is kindled. Happy are all those who trust in him. Think about the fact that Jesus ascends. It's not just that Jesus died, was buried, and rose. It's that he ascended. That's a critical part of the story. And that's what the apostles would always refer back to, is that Jesus, they give the story, Jesus was the Messiah. He's the righteous one. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And he is seated. That is in reference to Jesus has ascended and he's seated. It's what was expected. Daniel chapter 7, the promise was that the Messiah was going to come up to the Ancient of Days. He was going to be given a kingdom that all peoples, tribes, nations, tongues, everyone's going to serve him. You see, the promise was the Messiah was not simply going to bring about forgiveness of sins. That was obviously the central part of the story. But there are other things that go on, like, for example, the kingdom that comes that fills the whole earth. And there's so much in the New Testament and Old Testament that describes the scope of the kingdom of God as greater than I think we have let it be in our own minds today. And the whole idea of telling the kings to submit to this Messiah or you're going to perish, I think says a little bit more about the scope of the kingdom of God and where we're supposed to lead the nations to than we've allowed it as of late. So for example, when Jesus ascends, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. He says, make disciples of all nations. You see, the whole goal is to disciple the nations. It's not just a message of go and get a couple converts and people to say a couple magic prayers about Jesus being Savior. It's that go make disciples of what? The nations. It's not just individuals. It's go disciple the nations. And what is the end goal? Think about the last part, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. What's the end goal? Jesus says what? He says, teaching them to obey, observe all that I've commanded you. And so when we think about the scope of the kingdom of God in history and the scope of the gospel proclamation, I like how Dr. White puts it. He says, you know, the gospel is not a suggestion. It's a command. It's a command to repent and believe. This Messiah is Lord of all. He's died, buried, risen again. He's ascended. And the call is to repent, turn from sin, believe in him, forgiveness and salvation. And the call goes out, what? To obey. Jesus says, what are you going to teach the nations? Teach them to obey. And so people say, you know, why are you talking about Obamacare? I'm not talking about Obamacare and its failures simply because KPXQ and 960 The Patriot are affiliated, and this is like the conservative talk show. You know how we feel about that. We've talked about it over and over and over again. Conservative, quote, politics detached from the word of God is like just suspended in midair. It's meaningless. And a wise person is going to see right through it, and they're going to destroy those arguments. If you take away the scripture as the foundation of the conservative arguments in the sense of like pro-life and marriage as and all the things that we'd say, like, you know, capitalism, you know, private property, those kind of things, it's meaningless and it's arbitrary. So we're not saying that. But, you know, we have to have an answer as a Christian, because what is the command? Teach the nations to observe all that I've commanded. Make disciples of the nations. So we're supposed to speak to the governing authorities and say, no, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. No, obey the Son. So, let me ask you this. This is where we can all talk amongst ourselves. Does God command us not to lie? You shall not lie. And we think about lying is not what's in God's character. So when it says God cannot lie in the scriptures in Titus, he cannot lie. Mm-hmm. That's what God is like. He's one that's truthful. He is God who is truth. He never lies. He will not lie. And he commands us as his image bearers not to lie. So Jesus dies and rises again and commands us to go make disciples of all the nations, to basically teach them to obey. When we have a government today that's lying to the public, mm-hmm. are we supposed to say something?
Yes.
Okay, give me more. Yeah. Yes. True or false? True. Think about it. Because what are some things people are going to say? Let's talk about the discussion. You hear us talking on the show as Christians about Obamacare, and what are people going to think? Like, you're just riding hobby horse, you're just going along with the current. And for me, I think there are certain things that I will ignore. Like, there's just things I'm like, that's just not relevant. You know, yeah. I mean, it's not an issue that we need to sit and fight. And like, that's, you know, that this issue of Obamacare, it's going to affect all of us. Mm-hmm. It's going to affect widows. It's going to affect orphans. It's going to affect single dads. It's going to affect families. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect me. And
your mom.
And your mom. It's going to affect, nice job, Joy. It's going to affect generations of people after us if we don't speak out against it. Because it is theft.
Yeah.
It's theft. It's stealing from people. It's taking their property without their permission. Here's the official thing. I have not given the government permission to take my money to purchase this. I haven't. And when you say, well, you're going to purchase it or I'm taking it from you, that's what I call theft. And I don't care if you're wearing a black robe or you have a fancy pen. It's theft. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make it not theft because you got a lot of you. Wearing fancy robes and nice white castles, signing things with fancy pens. You know, it's legal now. It's still theft. Still, you know, someone climbing over my fence to take my television is theft. Someone climbing over my fence to take my cash for healthcare is still theft. Okay?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make a difference. It's theft.
Yeah.
And so as a Christian, think about incidents in John the Baptist's life.
Yeah.
John the Baptist is this famous Jewish prophet, right? And you can read about him outside of the New Testament record. He's revered. And John the Baptist does speak to the political establishment of his day. And what does he use as the standard? He says it's not lawful for you to have these wives. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about it, like, who are you to tell the political establishment of your day, John? Like, he's supposed to obey God's law.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth, because that's a whole separate realm. I mean, that's a separate realm. That's the other issue. That's not the church, John.
Mm-hmm.
But he does. He says, not lawful for you to have these wives. And Jesus does speak out in his day to the political establishment, calling him a fox, which wasn't a nice thing.
Right.
Yeah. Wasn't calling him a cute bunny or a
hey,
cute
foxy.
Kitty cat.
Did he ask him what the fox says?
Yeah, nice. So if you think about speaking out against this as a Christian, it's essential. I like what Wilson said when we did the show. He said, are Christian ministers supposed to confront lies?
Exactly. Well, it just goes along with the whole thread of, like, is truth really truth? If truth is objective, can it just be objective for some people? Like, so if it's objective and complete and there's no room for error, there's no, you know, gray matter there, then are some people just exempt from the truth based on power or money or where they were born or whatever?
Yeah.
And they aren't. They just aren't. And so I think the more you kind of live like people are exempt from the truth, you're not really having that sturdy of a position on it. And you're not really acting like you have the power of God behind what you're saying. You're kind of just like, well, you know, it's just not really important, and I don't really have the power to speak to you, so you're just going to get away with it.
Yeah, you can say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about tyranny will begin when God isn't king over a society, then tyranny begins, because it's not like a society decides to have no gods. Now they find their gods, and generally speaking, the government becomes God in their place. I mean, the history of Christianity is a history of people who are liberated, free before God. They've experienced freedom in Christ, freedom from sin, and they fight for freedom, period. And so you look at like these great movements in history of the Christian, like, run.
Yeah.
Liberation movements, like freedom, freedom for ultimately it's biblical foundational principles that lead us to the issue of like attacking slavery, American slavery in our culture. And in Britain, you look at all these different, in Christian Western societies, it was the biblical things that brought liberation and freedom. And when you look at the society that we live in today, we have a political establishment that is saying, no, we don't stand on the word of God as our foundation. We're a secular society. We've abandoned original principles. And so we don't have the word of God as the standard. What means that I'm not allowed, according to them, they think they still can, to hold them accountable according to the word of God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when Obama, our president, and we respect him and honor his office as president, but when he lies, blatantly lies to the public in the upwards of hundreds of times on this issue, to force through a coercive program of theft. It's a wicked thing. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to say, you tell that fox that mm-hmm. he cannot have this.
Well, yeah, I think that because there's a general belief, I think probably the majority of people believe currently that people are mostly good.
Yeah.
And so, and that, I mean, that's a belief not based off of the Bible. That's something that we created the further we got from the Bible.
That's right.
And so, that's probably another reason why people think that we can't really speak to these issues, because we're lending all this trust and the benefit of the doubt. And no, I'm sure he didn't lie. I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything, but people, if you're thinking in your mind right now, I'm sure Obama didn't really mean to lie. Please think about how many times you've lied today or in the past week.
Yeah.
Just think about, especially as Christians, we know our nature before we were saved. We know how sinful people are, and mm-hmm. that's our nature. And we're just getting away from that, and we're just lending all this. I mean, obviously, it's appropriate to lend grace, but it's almost too much. And there's that whole idea, like, only God can judge me. But it's like...
50 Cent. P. Diddy.
Well, and it's just like...
50 cents.
I don't know. Actually, Isaac and I were kind of talking about this, but, like, can you define what judging would mean in that instance? Like,
yep.
We can't make any judgments yep. about, like, right or wrong or... I don't know.
Well, God tells us, he says, to judge with righteous judgment, essentially, yeah. right judgment. So we're supposed to judge rightly with the word of God, not with motives that are impure,
yeah.
right.
with a plank in our eye. Well, they got a speck of dust in theirs. But, you know, when you think about sin that affects multitudes of people mm-hmm. that is built upon lies from the beginning, you can't say, well, it's the president, so just kind of let it be.
Yeah.
You got to say, well, then you have even more responsibility
oh, yeah.
at that particular point. Because, you see, if I lie... it's destructive and sinful, and Jesus had to die for that, and I yeah. deserve to go to hell for mm-hmm. it, and thank God for his grace. But when you lie about something like this, not only is it wicked from the start, but you're lying to get it actually in force, you've destroyed the lives of
yeah.
millions of people, literally millions,
yeah.
millions of mm-hmm. people. Think about even one family. Think about just one family with like a husband and a wife and say three or four kids that – they're struggling as it is financially, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're forced into this system, and they can't really afford it, period. But they have to do it. They feel yeah. like, I have to do it. And so now these kids go without what? Maybe they go without an adequate amount of food
mm-hmm.
because they can't pay for this health care. The insane prices that have gone up through the roof. Maybe they can't purchase gifts for them for their birthdays. Maybe mm-hmm. they can't put money away for their college education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? There's all kinds of things that impact. Maybe they can't get an adequate amount of clothes to wear for the kids and shoes because all this money's going into this healthcare because the premiums have tripled. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's one family. Now multiply that by millions.
Mm-hmm.
What is it going to look like future to us with families that couldn't put money away for college? With families that can't put an adequate amount of food on the table because they're paying for this healthcare system. Mm-hmm. You see, we don't think about the implications.
Right.
It's about devouring people. As a Christian, you can't say, well, let it be. We have a different realm to be concerned about. I reject that ignorant, bankrupt notion of Christianity. We've got a different realm. Now, Jesus is king. All authority in heaven and on earth means what it says. That's in heaven and on earth. It's not a separate realm. Jesus owns all,
yep.
which means that I'm supposed to bring the good news of salvation and his law into the culture. And it means I'm able to speak against the governing authorities when they violate human beings. I'm allowed to speak against it and say, thus saith the Lord. And we should be for the glory of God and the good of others if we love them. ApologiaRadio.com.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America, One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
This is Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church in Tempe. I want to encourage you to come check out Apologia Church, where we have a commitment to expositional through the Bible teaching, and we are passionate about bringing the gospel to the world in a way that brings glory to God through the transformation of the world. We have a strong commitment to close and intimate community. ApologiaChurch.com.
Apologia Church also wants to help you build a strong biblical family. We welcome and invite you to visit us on Sundays.
If you are new to the area or are looking for a church family, please join us on Sunday nights at 5:30 p.m. We currently meet at Gethsemane Lutheran Church, located at 1035 East Guadalupe in Tempe, Arizona, just east of Rural and Guadalupe. Also, God is soon blessing us with our own building, and we have a real tangible need of $200,000 to help us move into our new location. We encourage all of our listeners to partner with us in this need. For more information, please go to ApologiaChurch.com.
ApologiaChurch.com. It turns out we got a lot of atheists creeping on us. No, I'm just kidding. If you're an atheist and you listen to this show, we love you. We care for you. We want you to know Christ. This is, for us, not simply an argument to be won, but life to be given. And we mean that sincerely. And so, but we have lots of atheists that, you know, interact with us on the page at times. Atheists, I guess, that listen to our show. Mm-hmm. And so we had a situation the other day. Luke, you kind of just maybe bring us into what happened. You posted something on the page.
Okay, so, yeah, I had posted a link. I can't remember what the source was. If you're pulling up, you can remind us. And basically it was talking about this skull they found 5 years ago or something and how it's really, really old. And so it's an issue for evolutionists.
It was just an article.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, yeah. It was, so that's what it was. And so I shared it. And then, like, out of nowhere, these atheists jump on there, like.
Jump on it.
Like, coming at us, like, and the one guy was like, first thing he says is, you know, first of all, evolution is a fact, period. And I was like, okay, well, let's calm down there, buddy.
I decided today I think I'm going to stop using that phrase.
What?
It's period.
Yeah.
it's lost its meaning.
It seems like it's just it's a little too final.
Yeah.
Unless you're, you know, speaking about something that really is indeed just,
yeah,
that's it. Mm. Nothing's going to change about that.
Like Obamacare is theft.
Yeah,
period.
So I guess any of my opinions, I'm going to stop using that.
Yeah, so then there was also some other atheists that came out and said, well, this, you know, they were trying to say that the article was saying that the skull completely disproves evolution. And so I just came back on and I said, one, evolution is not a fact.
Macroevolution is anything but a fact. Yeah. Yeah,
as we said. Then two, that's not what the article was saying. And then from there, then Jeff got involved with this guy that was.
So the guy's name is Justin. And he's an atheist, and so the thing he says here is I want everyone to listen, because I want you to see how the interaction happens, and have atheists think about it, but also in particular Christians, because this show is really to equip Christians and get them ready to bring the gospel to the world, is to think through what's being said to you. And here's what I mean, guys, and you guys can follow me on this. So Justin basically says, Apologia Radio, I'm sorry, but you have no clue what you're talking about. Okay. Common ancestry with chimps is indeed a proven fact due to genetics. Okay. Interesting. And so he goes on, but Louis says, you guys can buy into your religious stuff all you want. You can claim a God-directed evolution or whatever. The fact is that the only reason you don't accept the reality of evolution, having been proven time and again, is that your book of mythology tells a fairy tale that it stole from the Sumerians. All right? Now, what's interesting is that Christians don't reflect on the fact, because we get all like, you know, we get like, in Titan stuff, like, that's not a fairy tale, it's not a mythology, I can prove it to you. Don't forget who's talking to you.
Right.
Here's a guy in a conversation arguing, no, we evolved from lower species in an unguided universe with no purpose, cosmically, accident.
Mm-hmm.
We evolved, we're like chimps.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in fairy tales and mythology. You stole it from the Sumerians. Did you catch that?
He's outraged.
He's arguing forcefully, viciously, violently for evolution as true. No, I evolved from societies of bacteria. All right? You stole it. You stole it. You're a swindler and a cheat. Like, you see what I'm saying? You got to think through, as a Christian, these things bother us. What bothers you as a Christian? Mythology, believing in lies, something that's not true,
yep.
Right? Stealing, kind of a problem for our little cult, right? Like how Wilson put that. I believe I belong to a quaint little cult that believes that thou shalt not steal. So when someone tells a Christian, you stole it from the Sumerians, it's like Christians immediately go, I need to start getting into the books, and I'm going to show this guy I didn't steal this from the Sumerians. You start looking, I can prove it to you historically in archaeology. I'll show you all the stuff. Stop. Don't forget what he's arguing for. He's arguing that he evolved from simpler biological organisms, common descent, that he's an African ape. He's arguing that, daggone it, you better see me as a chimpanzee.
Mm-hmm.
And you stole it.
Mm-hmm.
You stole it from the Sumerians. What's wrong there? What's wrong? Here's a man arguing that he's bipedal protoplasm,
mm-hmm.
that he's an ape, an African ape. And then he's complaining that Christians believe in mythology and that they steal something from the Sumerians.
Mm.
Is there a little bit of an internal conflict there?
Did you invite him on the show?
Yes.
That's the next point. So as I start to confront the guy, he says that I'm pointing out to him the inconsistency with what he's doing. I challenge him to answer something based on his presuppositions. He's arguing for evolution. Okay, so give me this from that. And he says, well, you're building a straw man. And so I asked him, well, are you saying that you do believe you live in a guided universe, that you reject Darwinian evolution, common descent? He goes, no, I affirm those things. I said, okay, so it's not a straw man, is it? I'm actually accurately representing your position. What you're trying to accuse me of is a red herring. You're saying that I'm actually changing the subject in a way to get to something that doesn't logically follow. Anyways, so what I say to the guy, and there's two atheists, by the way, Joy, at this point, what I say is, guys, I cordially invite you to join us on the radio program to discuss this on the air, right? And the one guy doesn't even respond. Not that I saw, doesn't even respond. And he's like, you know, he says, I listen to Apologia Radio just because to laugh and because it just shows the bankruptcy of Christianity.
He just had a drive-by comment.
Right, a little comment.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I invite him, no response. And then I tell this Justin guy, I said, well, you're invited to join us on the show and you can bring these challenges on air. And he says, what the last thing he says is, I'm going to read it to you.
Well, while you're looking it up, I want to say this. Speaking of a red herring, when all I said to him was, you know, you read it. I said evolution or macroevolution is not a proven fact. Instead of anything, it's being proven by science to not be a fact. That's mm-hmm. all I said.
Mm-hmm.
And then he totally comes back with the mythology and the Sumerians and starts attacking God and all. And I didn't even bring that up.
No.
He's the one that didn't respond to my claim and then completely went off in another direction.
Yeah. And what I would generally do if the atheist truly wanted to have a discussion is I would just point him to the renowned evolutionary biologists that have just been on record saying the problem with the fossil record is that we don't have the transitionary fossils.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would just say to them, look, your debate isn't with me.
Right.
Yeah.
As a Christian, listen, here's the thing. Christians got to understand, you don't let the emotion of the moment and the arguments get you into a tizzy or a frenzy to start forgetting what's actually true. Like, look, here's a guy arguing that he's a chimp, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's arguing about theft as stealing from Sumerians and mythology, okay? It's just bankrupt. It's fallen and collapsed upon itself. So the Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God. That's what you become when you reject your God. A fool in your argumentation and everything else. But you think about the fact that, you know, when someone like this argues, it's a fact. Understand this. It's because he's been raised in that worldview.
Yeah.
He's in a club of people who say it's a fact. Mm-hmm. But they haven't thought through the truth that you can have the highest level biologist who's an evolutionist that is on record saying the problem is we don't have the transitionary fossils.
Yeah,
that's the problem. It's worldview driven. Just direct them along to them. Say, well, listen, don't debate with me. Debate with your buddy.
Yeah.
Debate with your friends. Debate with your club. Because they're telling you that, no, we don't have them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just have you go to Stephen Jay Gould. Okay? Go to him. Deal with his arguments. That the problem is we don't have these transitionary fossils. Deal with him, not with the Christian. But here's what he says after I invite him on the radio program. I have no intention of calling in. Apologists and creationists in particular prefer verbal debate because it invokes emotion rather than reason. Okay, again, here's a guy who wants us to call him a chimp, and he really wants to hold to this thing called reason. It really matters. It really matters for chimps to be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
At any point, so I said this to him. I said, we suspected you would refuse public scrutiny of your position. Again, it's just too easy to be courageous behind a keyboard. It's also too easy to avoid arguments, as you've already displayed. And that's just the point. Listen, arguing in a Facebook chat box is easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. It doesn't take any courage. It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
You sit at home. You're protected in your own little house. No one's watching you. No one really is paying any attention. I mean, the most, you know, a couple hundred people will see this particular post, maybe a couple thousand. But they don't know you. They're not going to see you at the coffee shop later and get to challenge you. Mm-hmm. And it's not your voice or your face really ultimately going out. You can disappear at will. So Facebook chat boxes and website chats are easy. That's why people love to go to them that are trolls.
Yeah.
It's easy to hide. But, you know, when you have a radio program that's heard literally internationally by tens of thousands of people at times, it takes a lot more courage. It takes a lot more courage to come on a radio program to argue for the fact that you believe you live in an unguided, ungoverned universe and that you are a purposeless blob of protoplasm, cosmically speaking, that you are an African ape and that there is no God. It takes a lot more courage to come on a radio program like this to try to defend that position from the perspective you have been, arguing against things like theft and mythology and arguing for reason. It takes a lot more courage. And I think that, you know, one thing as a Christian you have to notice is that you've got to be able to look beyond the emotional content of the argument, mythology, stealing from the Sumerians, and just take a deep breath and remember what God says. The fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
Their reason is corrupt. And you got to be able to kind of hang loose, trust in God and his grace for this person, pray for them, and try to display the foolishness of their position. Don't run. Don't be scared. Just remember what he's arguing for. You know, and they're going to get perturbed. Every time you start pointing it out to them, they hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. Anything that will get an atheist in a tizzy and upset to start thinking about his position is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there isn't any conviction that's going to happen if you start just going to books trying to prove to him, and you can refute his position on the stealing from the Sumerians. It's a piece of cake to do. Yes, you can do that. But what he doesn't want you to do is he doesn't want you to point out the fact that he just wanted you to call him a chimp.
And despite what he says, morality does not come from the apes.
Yeah. Right.
That point I choked on.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, there's a... Go ahead. Well, we're almost done. Gotcha. I was just going to say there's a reason why, like, when a child falls into a monkey cage, we're not like, now, Mr. Baboon, please don't hurt my child.
Right, right.
The mom screams.
Or I'll cuff you. We recognize the difference.
Yeah.
Yes, very good. So we'll be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com. Get us and go to the Facebook page. Like it. Share us with your friends.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back. reflection plus some practical perspective for those of us indeed who are in need of complete vision correction. The only thing that's required is a lens that's genuinely objective and a minute of your time to wrap
so
your
Christians
mind around divine perception.
Well, spiritually blind, like, how do I defend my faith? My atheist brother or my atheist uncle or atheist sister is just challenging my faith. How do I answer them? Your mom. You're going to say, yes. Your mom. Joe's over there just cracking up. You know, obviously there's complexities to it. You know, the biblical arguments can be high-level philosophical discussions talking about preconditions for intelligibility for, say, induction. You can talk about epistemology, theories of knowledge. How do you know what you know? Is it through experience? Is it empiricism? Is it rationalism? Is it pragmatism? You can talk about these issues. Does it really work as pragmatic? And you can go into a whole slew of deep philosophical discussions about the transcendental argument for the existence of God. And you can talk about immaterial, abstract, necessary laws, like laws of logic. You know, are these necessary? Are they actually universal? Are they material or immaterial? How do we judge something that's true? You know, these are big discussions, but ultimately, the discussions can be brought down to simplistic things,
right?
Like a guy like Justin coming onto a radio page, morally indignant. It's just indignant about the fact that you've posted something from some other website with just a discussion about some find, and he is just indignant,
yeah,
angry, and he's just arguing, no, evolution is true. Common descent. We're apes. We're apes. We're apes. And you guys are liars, and you're stealing, and you're this. The simplicity of the argument is that you don't even have to, at that point, go into the tough philosophical discussions. Just point out to him what he believes about himself.
Right.
And say, well, this is what you believe about yourself. What's with all these borrowed assumptions? Now, here's what I mean by borrowed assumptions. When Justin talks about, in one of his discussions, he talks about problems with stealing. And he talks about that in the context of gorillas. it just talks about we are apes. The fact that we recognize it as being better for the species as a whole to not commit what we now deem, quote, immoral acts is a part of development as social creatures. So watch this. What's assumed there? What's the assumption? The assumption is that we should do things for the better of the species.
Mm-hmm.
That's a borrowed assumption. It's the atheist wants a gimme. Right? He wants to get into the discussion, and he wants a lot of gimmies. Just give me that. Give me human value and dignity. Just give me that so I can launch an argument. And it's like, no, I won't give you that. You see, that makes sense for me. I can have human value and dignity because image bearers of God have inherent value and dignity. You can't. No, you can't have that borrowed assumption. Christians, listen, it's very, very easy to bring the gospel into this context and to show the person that they're at war with God. How? Stop letting them have these borrowed assumptions. Confront them. Talk to them about it. You got something to say. It's on the tip of your tongue. Come on.
I was imagining some this is just my brain, but I was just imagining some early evolutionary newspaper headlines, like great banana heist.
We're looking for him. The guy that stole a whole bushel of bananas.
But I imagine it on a Breaking Bad type scale.
Breaking Bad in Planet of the Apes form? Like, Walter White is an ape.
A big gorilla.
Cooking ape meth.
It's like banana. It's like yellow colored. So like banana. Yo, you got that banana flavor?
There you go with your street credit again.
Seriously.
So anyway.
Anyway, sorry. I know that wasn't exactly the track you wanted to go down.
No, it's perfectly fine. That's okay. I just want to encourage believers here. We talk about the issue of atheism. Look, of course, I'm going to encourage you to read books Bonson's always ready. I want to encourage you guys to, you know, to pick up these books on the, you know, get to, we did Scott Oliphant's book on covenant apologetics. You know, get the books, do the deep reading, do the big discussions on epistemology, like get into it because it's important. But a lot of times you don't even have to get down the road because what we're allowing too often as Christians is the borrowed capital to just go without being pointed out. And that's and what it, borrowed capital. What do I mean? It means that they are borrowing from you, from God, right? And they're acting as though they haven't borrowed it. They're acting like they're the ruler of their own domain. It's like the Dr. Bonson used to always say something like, you know, the person that goes to a bank to borrow money to start a business, he's living on borrowed capital. Mm-hmm. Okay, he doesn't no need to be arrogant a year into the business. Like I built this all myself. You're living on borrowed capital. You borrowed that money from the bank. You're living on borrowed capital. And at some point, you're going to have to start paying it back, right? Yeah. And the atheist lives on borrowed capital. He is living on borrowed capital every moment of his life. Mm-hmm. And in particular, in these arguments, when someone comes up with some moral indignation about some article that Luke posts or some theft or stealing or something that's, quote, not true, he claims in the Christian worldview, you just got to just point out to him, wait a minute, on the one hand, you're arguing that your bipedal protoplasm, that the common descent, we all evolved from simpler biological organisms to where we're at now. And then on another hand, you're acting like there's some value to the human species, that we mm-hmm. should all protect it and we should have it grow and flourish. Now, can everyone notice this? This is really important. Maybe I can leave us here and we can go to the next point. There are different value systems that have arisen over time, right? Mm-hmm. If to buy into the evolutionary worldview, say that's true, okay? We've evolved in this purposeless universe from the soup to where we're at today. That's where we're at. Great. Common descent. My grandpappy was an ape. Okay. Whatever. we're on around time here. Okay. In this evolutionary model, in this world, okay, we're all African apes. There's no purpose, no meaning. We live, we die, and we're gone. Will Provine says we're absolutely gone, we die. Dawkins says there's no good, no evil, only blind and pitiless indifference. Okay. Now, certain apes have said, well, it's okay to murder and to rape and to molest and to hurt. Okay. And certain other apes have said, no, no, love one another, do good to each other. Now, both values have risen up over time, okay? Now, this particular ape, Justin, he sides with the apes over here that say we should work towards the betterment of society. Mm-hmm. But we have whole systems and prison systems in America where we keep other apes who actually who disagree with that. They say, no, I actually have quite enjoyed my murderous rampage or my theft. And when I get out, I'm going to do it again. Mm-hmm. Okay, now watch. Those systems have risen up, right, together. And he's arbitrarily, Justin the ape, has arbitrarily picked one over the other. You know what that means? It's an arbitrary decision on that value.
Well, actually, or if you want to really follow that thread, it just means that he is less evolved because he chose to not murder for his own. I mean, in the animal world, the murderers are actually more highly evolved because they're living, more food for them. Mm-hmm. And you're getting picked off.
Yeah, and you know what he'd say back to you? He'd say, but no, but it hurts people and this and that. And that's just the point.
Yeah.
You get to debate back and forth and argue over this. Why? No objective standard. Totally arbitrary. And now you've got a debate with the ape in the prison who wants to argue with you that, no, I should be able to kill and eat people because I like it. And what are you going to say against that? Well, I've chosen this for myself. Mm-hmm. This is what happens when you abandon God and his objective truth.
Apology Radio will be right back.
Spent a lifetime trying to find love in anything and everything this life has to offer, it's true. And oftentimes we trade the temporal satisfaction for the things the genuine believer is entitled to. I'm convinced that it's because they don't understand that there exists an order of benefits of redemption that's applied to his bride. And the basis for his choice and election was for God alone to decide. And it's not like an invitation that one might accept or reject, but rather it's the effectual calling, drawing to himself his elect, regenerating and enabling us to respond in faith towards Christ, giving us the gift of repentance, revealing the nature of his sacrifice, binding us with the true intellectual realization of our sinful condition, converting us and turning us from our previous malicious disposition, ultimately leading to a legal declaration by God that we've been made right in his sight, justification being credited to us on the basis of the righteousness of Christ, adopted to be children of God and grafted into fellowship, being bound together by the blood of Christ into a common membership, sanctified by the Spirit, given gradual growth and holiness, increasing in our thinking and behaving in ways that shows that we're chosen, and all the while being preserved and upheld according to his sovereign providence, giving us confidence that he will carry us to completion just like he promised.
That's good, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very good.
Beautiful eulogy.
Beautiful eulogy?
Yeah. They're awesome.
That their new stuff?
No, actually, that's their first album.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Sorry.
Oh, that was nice. What are you listening to?
We're just going to keep listening.
Oh, that's good, actually. Let's just have that playing in the background. That's nice. That's a nice soothing song.
Yeah.
All right, hey, we're back, and we want to talk now beyond the atheism stuff. We want to talk at this point. I had a question that I wanted to kind of go through, and it was regarding Calvinism, and it's kind of funny. This is a private message, actually. This didn't come up on the webpage, but I thought it was worthy of a discussion. Okay, so here's funny how it started. It said, let me get to it here. Okay, so, he doesn't want me to use his name, so I won't use his name. He says, I'm still learning. He says, I know you are post-mill. Where'd you ever get that idea? He says, I know you're post-mill, but are you also a Calvinist? So I said, yes, but only because Jesus is. So he says, he laughs, and then he says, I'm still learning. Brother, the doctrine of election has me stumped. So I said, have you heard our shows with John Sampson? I said, read John 6 and John 10, then you'll understand Calvinism. He says this, and now you guys can sort of maybe jump in here with me here. He says, question, if God has already elected the ones going to be saved, what does that say about abortion? And so I didn't quite understand the connection. So I said, what does the question have to do with election? He said, and why would we preach the gospel if he already elected them? Just kind of a, just a lot of stuff thrown in together at once. So I said to him, we preach the gospel because it is a command to repent and believe. Nobody deserves or even wants grace. Grace cannot be demanded. When God saves, it is to the glory of his grace. When he leaves someone in their hatred and rebellion against him, it is to the glory of his justice. And then he says this, forgive me if I'm getting confused, but doesn't that mean that God has already elected to have these babies aborted? So, okay, so this is the difficulty here.
Yeah.
Is he's conflating the issue of, say, providence and the issue of God's decree of what happens in time with election. Election has to do with God's choosing before the foundation of the world a people for salvation by his grace in Christ. So as Ephesians chapter 1 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us to adoption as sons. And so that's just taught. So Jesus says in John 6 what? He says, I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me, that of all that the Father has given to me, I should lose none of all that the Father has given to me. So election has to do with God's choosing to give grace, right? And so when we think about the issue of abortion, we think about the issue of any murder, that's not really a question about election. That's a question about God's decrees in time, what happens in history, his providence, those kinds of questions. But I want to come back after the break and deal with the issue of God's sovereignty a little more in detail to answer some of these questions, because I think they're important questions. And so what I want you to do is stay with us, and we're going to come back. We're going to answer this question a little more fully and in more detail. And the issue of Calvinism, Reformed theology, you know, we're just talking about, like, what does the scripture say about election? What does the scripture say about predestination? What does the scripture say about the gospel call? Like, why preach the gospel if God has already determined who he's going to save? So we're going to talk about that when we get back at apologiaradio.com. Get us there. Get us on our page. Support the ministry by going to apologiaradio.com or apologiachurch.com and clicking the donate tab. Be a part of the movement and what we're doing here to get the gospel into the world.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
Beat the song. Nope. When I went to Bible college at an independent fundamental separated Baptist church, we sang a song all the time. So picture me, 18 years old, clap my hands, pair of slacks, button up shirt with a tie. Make sure my sideburns don't go too low past the earlobe.
You couldn't grow that far then anyways.
Huh? Well, I could. Yeah, my sideburns were doing all right then.
You didn't have to worry about shaving, though.
No, not really. About every six years, I have to trim them up a little bit.
My wife loves that song, actually.
Does she?
Her family, they're all into that, I'll be careful, Southern gospel music.
Yeah, the Gaithers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, her grandpa was in a quartet called the Humble Heirs.
I'm sorry?
The Humble Heirs. The Humble Heirs was the name of their group.
They say it really slow because it's the Humble Layers.
Yeah.
Like the Humblers.
We have a 8-track.
Eight-track. Yeah. That's cool. Nice.
It's kind of cool, yeah. They had a song in there, I think, called They'll Never Change the Way of Salvation or something like that.
Mm.
I was like, who's they?
Mm.
In that song title.
That's interesting. Well, speaking of salvation.
Yeah.
Speaking of forgiveness, speaking of those questions, we're talking about Calvinism. Now, this is what the brother asks. This is what he says. He sends the question. Here's what he says. He says, doesn't Calvinism teach that we don't have a free will? That God created the rebellious people to rebel against him so he can show us his wrath for his glory. Okay. This is really important. When people say Calvinists don't believe in a free will, it doesn't mean we don't believe in a will, that you make choices willingly.
Mm-hmm.
When we say free will, what Calvinists or Reformed people, I think historic Christianity essentially wants to say, and this goes all the way back to the early days of the church when the first debates were ensuing with issues like Pelagianism and semi-Pelagianism, is like, what's the condition of a person before Christ? Are they sick? Are they capable of coming to God? How do they come to God? So what we say is ultimately not that you don't have a will, but that your will is enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a will that's making willing choices, but those choices are being fed by the nature. So my nature determines the activity of my will. So in other words, I'm making choices. I want to make them, but it's because my nature is feeding into that will. And so when we say we don't have a free will, it's not to say that we're robots. That God created people as robots because he just wants to destroy them one day.
Yeah.
That is not a picture of God. The truth is, go back to the beginning. It says in Ecclesiastes that God created man upright.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He created him upright and that he sought out many devices. So when God created Adam in the garden, he created him upright. He was in a state of a probationary period. It was a state where he was upright, but no sin. Okay? Upright, no sin. But he determines to break covenant with God, to go the other direction, to be a law to himself, look good to him, so he did it, okay? Now, what does Romans 5 say? It says, from that time, death spread to all men, because all sinned. So all of us fallen federally in Adam, okay? So what is our nature, according to scriptures? Give me some content, guys. What is our condition as fallen people before Jesus rescues us?
Enemies of God.
And where do you get that from? Romans 1, mm-hmm. right? Okay, what else?
Spiritually dead,
that would be Ephesians 2. You're dead in your sins and trespasses. By nature, what? Children of
wrath.
Very good. Okay, what else? Anything else?
Well, there's...
There's lots. But let's talk about it. We just feed into this instead of just saying it's just this way. Let's get some more content. Romans chapter 5 says that we are helpless, sinners, ungodly. Okay, there's our condition. Romans 3, famous passage. There is what? None righteous, not even one. None who does good, and none who seeks for God. So there, we are ready. Joy says, enemies of God, dead in our sins and trespasses, by nature children of wrath, godless, ungodly, helpless, sinners, not righteous, non-God seeking. All right, now let's put a cherry on top of that with this one. John 6:44. No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up. So Jesus says that our condition is unable to come to God. So when someone says, we've got a free will, we've got a free will, well, I mean, our response is what? You're enslaved.
Yeah, exactly. You're enslaved to sin, basically. You have a will, but you're going to choose.
You're free to sin.
Yeah.
That's good. That's excellent. That's exactly right. Yeah. You're free to sin. And so we think about, what about Adam? Did he have a free will? Well, Adam had a will, and he was upright. He had no sin. He wasn't fallen as we are, okay? But we are post-garden now. And that puts us in a situation where we think of humanity as fallen rebels, and Jesus says unable to come to God unless what happens? The Father who sent me draws him. And so what we say is that the will is willing, making choices, but it is a slave to the nature. Okay? And the example to give is the example of a vulture before a bag of meat and carrots and a rabbit before a bag of meat and carrots. Let the vulture freely choose the bag of meat or the carrots. What's it choose? The meat by its nature. And it's making the willing choice. It wants, it's got two choices. Mm-hmm. It wants what? What the nature determines. Mm-hmm. And so it's that meat. Now take the rabbit, put it in front of the bag of meat and carrots. And what's it going to do? Willingly choose the carrots because the nature determines the activity of the will. Now, if Jesus says no man can, no man is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up, it means that it's up to God. It's determined upon God to say who actually comes to Christ. Mm-hmm. And you think about the fact that Jesus teaches clearly, I've come down from heaven. This is John 6. I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given to me, I should lose none. So he has given people to Jesus, and Jesus is not going to lose them. Here's what I usually say to people. If you want to know what Calvinism is, what does it teach, what are we saying, what do we believe, then what I usually do, I can send you to a dozen places, but what I usually do is tell people, read John 6. Read John 6. Specifically read from verses 32 to, say, 44. That, there you go. Because Jesus says, watch this. But as he says in verse 36 of chapter 6 of John, he says, but as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. Now watch this. Everyone the Father gives me will come. So, and Dr. White points this out. Which comes first? Coming to Jesus or being given to Jesus by the Father? Being given to Jesus by the Father. And that precedes the coming to Christ. So coming to Christ is coming to him for life, believing in him, coming to him. And Jesus says, I'll never lose those the Father has given to me. If you want to know the 5 points of Calvinism are all about, it's right there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. The Father gives people to Jesus. He effectively brings them, and he never loses them. There's your 5 points, ultimately. And you say, what about like limited atonement? Well, that's, you know, that's clearly taught throughout the scriptures in the sense of the representation of the priest and the people. Jesus says in John 10, I'm the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. And then he says to the Jews who don't believe, he says, you are not of my sheep. That's why you can't hear me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so what I want to say is there's a difference between election like this and the issue of free will and all of that, and an issue of like abortion. You're asking a different question ultimately when you ask about abortion, like, well, why abortion? And we think about the fact that abortion is a result of a fallen world. Mm-hmm. It's a result of our sin in creation. Is God in control of abortion? Mm-hmm. In the sense that he causes all things to work together for his good? Yes. Mm-hmm. And does God declare the end from the beginning? Yes. Does he do according to his will in the heavens above and among the inhabitants of the earth? Yes. And if we say that God is not sovereign over this issue of abortion, then what we're saying is that it happens without any purpose. And I say that's not the God of the Bible. I say that God has determined that he works all things after the counsel of his will. And it means that when someone does a wicked act, that wicked act has not thwarted God's purposes.
Right.
That wicked act has not come around God, and God's got to go, I'll fix it. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that God's determined in his own holy counsel, according to his plan, he has determined whatever acts occur in history for his glory, and those actions are not forced by God. In other words, God didn't go to Adam, put a gun to his head, and say, Adam, eat the fruit. Right? Adam wanted to eat the fruit. God determined that he would mm-hmm. for his purposes.
Mm-hmm.
For example, perfect example, Jesus, the greatest sin committed in the history of mankind was the murder of the Son of God on the tree. It's the worst crime ever
mm-hmm.
because Jesus was actually innocent, completely and righteous, blameless, and we mm-hmm. killed him, right? Now, what does the Bible say about that criminal act? What does it say about that sinful, wicked act? It says the Christians were praying in the book of Acts that in this city, gathered against your holy servant Jesus, were Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, people of Israel, to do what? Whatever your hand had predestined to occur.
Mm.
So wait a second. Judas handed Jesus over because he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It was in his heart to do it. God determined that Judas would get what he wanted. Judas, you can have it because he's determined it. And by the way, all the times that in his ministry, Judas is betraying Jesus, he's stealing money, right? He's just taking money from Jesus. He's doing all this wicked stuff. When did Judas actually get to betray Jesus? Think about it. When did he get to betray Jesus? Only when Jesus gave him permission.
Yeah.
You think about that.
Yeah.
So here's Judas, like, he's going to betray Jesus, and Jesus says, when he turns to him,
do what you're going to do.
Do what you're going to do. He gives him permission to betray him. It was in Judas to do it, but he couldn't do it until Jesus told him to. And you think about all the times in Jesus' ministry that people wanted to kill Jesus. I mean, I was reading to my kids 2 days ago. We're going through the book of Luke. We're reading together as a family. And I was reading the part where he was in Nazareth.
Bromance.
Yeah, there you go, bromance. He was
too bad there's not a book of Jeff.
Yeah.
Hey, Luke.
Yeah, he's reading. He's Nazareth. And they end up trying to throw him off a cliff, and he slips through the crowd. How many times in Jesus' ministry did they try to kill him, and they couldn't? Why?
He disappeared.
It wasn't his time. Because he came for a purpose to seek and save that which is lost. They could have tried all they wanted. It was when Jesus determined now. It was the Father's plan then. And now what happens is, notice this. They wanted to kill Jesus bunches of times before.
Yeah.
And God said what? No.
Nope.
But it was when God had determined for the perfect time in history, his plan to let Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Jews do what they did to Jesus. And God says, now. And you think about it, the most wicked criminal act in history resulting in what? Our redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so in God's perfect sovereignty and providence, he works all things after the counsel of his will. So I can say God has elected and predestined people for salvation, and that's for his grace. So what is my call? To call everyone to repentance and faith. Some people will come. And those are the ones the Father draws by his grace. And some people will remain hardened in the rebellion against God. And it's not like they're really desiring God, but God's just not letting them out.
Mm-hmm.
They hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Enemies.
Yeah.
And when God determines to allow us to have what we want, that is to the glory of his what? Justice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we proclaim the gospel, salvation, freedom, forgiveness in Christ. That message goes out to the world. And we know that God is perfect and he saves perfectly. And so we know that when we preach the gospel, we have 100% full assurance that when God determines to save, he saves, and he saves perfectly. And that's what he's done with Joy. That's what he's done with Luke. That's what he's done with me. And we have hope and full assurance because of a perfect Savior and a perfect sovereign God. So, guys.
I think you just said perfect Savior.
Savior.
Which maybe you're hungry.
Delicious.
I do want to add American Vision right now. Has a special deal for all of our listeners. If you go and order something, put in the discount box Apologia, and you will get 40% off your order through December.
You're welcome.
40% because of Apologia.
Yes, sir.
What? Get it, y'all.
Streetcredit.com.
Hey, Joy.
Yes.
Your mom. ApologyRadio.com.